which is I found to be a tremendous sefer called Midos Shiurei Torah. He discusses, is a new sefer to me, Midos Mishloach Torah, which apparently is more scientific, but I cannot figure it out so well. This is written in plain Hebrew, so more user friendly, if I may use that expression. We'll try to analyze what's going on over here. These are hand slurs, and these are the machine. Let's try to figure what's going on. We arrived at the conclusion last week, Siyata Deshmaya, that the average egg that we have these days is 50 cc. We arrived at the conclusion, again quoting the Sefer Midos V'Shiurei Torah, that I'll read it to you from the original. Last time I only read it to you from secondary sources. As I consider this to be the primary source. That's how important the Sefer is. In terms of the ratio of the egg with the shell and without the shell. Let's analyze what this is all about. Okay, so here he has, and this I'm going to read you from the original statement, Midos Shiurei Torah. Let's see. Page Resh Mem Vav in this sefer. He gets 50 cc's, Ramba, and he says without the klipa, it's 45 cc's, as we mentioned last time, because we have the assumption that the again, that the shear of klipa versus not klipa is a difference of 9 to 10 ratio. Whereas Rabbi Noah had only 1:15 or 20 ratio. It's all found over here on this page, and I think it's described earlier in the same sefer. Let's try to find the right place. It discusses kibetza. Kitli Pasa and Aklipa, hold on a second. A few pages earlier. It gives you the ratio. It tells you that he measured it. Here we go. Yes. Because the Birur Halacha is on page Resh Mem. I believe that's by Rechiel Zilber, if I'm not mistaken. His comment there on the Chayoda. He says, how do you do it? Medidas habeitza b'tliposa b'nefach hamayim, Archimedes principle. V'chakach medidas tochan habeitza, nosli, a raw egg, b'kli mida. The totza'ah d'olmo, he got the aniyah kosa, by the medidas habeitza b'tliposa b'nefach hamayim, v'chakach medidas tochnok, shikosho, u'muvushelas b'nefach hamayim. He did it hard-boiled egg. It's a soft-boiled egg. Apparently, a hard-boiled egg and a soft-boiled egg display the same amount of water. Okay? The problem with Rabbi Noah got a totally different shear, because he, what did he do? He measured the volume of the peel itself, of the eggshell itself. He writes as follows. This is a previous page, Resh Lamites. He says, look, he forgot to discuss what he calls here the buas avir. In other words, you have to just take away the shell itself. As you all know, there's a little bit of an air gap, right, between the, you've all seen that, a little bit of an air gap, which he doesn't take into account, Rabbi Noah. So that's why I think his cheshbon must be wrong. And two against one, wrote Rabbi Zilber and Rabbi Banish, I think have the more accurate representation. Kids, the bottom line is, 22 and a half, we said, is the amount, again, to be machmir for the Shulchan Aruch. Not the biggest one, the Mishnah Berurah, was two additional chumras. One, he counts the beitza bikli pasa, which Chazir says it's impossible. And number two, he doubles it with the Noda Behuda, which we haven't learned yet. Maybe we'll figure out something about that, and let's discuss at length. There's a whole chapter about that Noda Behuda. But in any event, that's the max. Yes, the minimum is 3 cc's, because that's what the olives are, according to some. And some of the biggest olives is 7.5 cc's, all found in the sefer over here. Midas Vishkoli Torah, the Truman article in in Tchumen volume Yud. Very nice. Question of course becomes, how does this relate to real life? Who can measure these things? It's almost impossible to measure these things. How do you measure them? How do you measure cc's of a matzah? How do you measure the cc's? What are you doing? You brought in your caliper?
Yes.
Okay. That's going to help. So go measure it. So let's say we have a matzah. So tell me, now according to Rabbi Banish, you measure it at the narrow part. Every matzah has line. I'll pass around the matzah. You don't see the matzah. The line, there's little air gaps that go up between the line. I'm not talking, right? You don't see matzah in your life. If you measure the narrowest part, it's all the same, because those little gaps, if you just flatten them, would be the same thing. You measure, and I have a piece of hand matzah. We'll measure both of them and see what our caliper comes out. Let's hear Salem Kukwa matzah.
That's a caliper.
You can't prepare.
It's called my karma. It's much more accurate.
Whatever.
The visual caliper is also very that much more accurate.
But it's like very accurate.
Let's see. See what it comes up with.
Especially accurate.
3.1 millimeters.
Wow. Much more than he says. Okay. Try this one.
That was strikes.
Tune in and play in a bunch of spots.
It's not strikes. This is Hadar. Baked in Jerusalem. Under the authority of the Eda Haredis, KAJ. And the Star K, for that matter. Three Ashkachs. That's a Rabbi Heinemann from Baltimore.
And 3.9 at a thicker part.
No, the thicker part is irrelevant. The thinner part will count. They claim it's much thinner than that. But okay.
Wait, it was
3.1 was the first measurement. He measured it as being much thinner, but okay. We're not finished yet. In any event.
2.9. Wait. Yeah,
2.9. 2.9. He has it even less than that. Okay, let's see what goes on. I'll read it to what he says.
These are millimeters?
Millimeters.
Yeah.
I'll try that. Hold on. So the question becomes, how did they do it? They didn't have these fancy instruments. You know what they did? They took the matzah and they ground it into small pieces. So they did it. In both countries, in America and in Eretz Yisrael, so they did it. And as a matter of fact, when it depends how they did it. Rav David Feinstein has in Haggadah Kol Dodi changed his measurement. First it was 4x6. If you have an old-fashioned ruler, we can see what this matzah is like. Not a plain ruler, but I think it's 7x7. You have a ruler?
It's kind of small.
Okay, let's see what it is. It should do the trick. It's 7 inches this way approximately. And it's about 7x7, this matzah. What it comes to this?
This is between 2 and 2.5.
2 and 2.5. All right, fine. David Feinstein first said he said 2/3 of a matzah. Then he said basically a whole matzah. And why? I guess he presumably was grinding his matzah differently. If you look in his sefer called Odi, and if you look in Rabbi Ivan's sefer, which is a good sefer to have, you may have, I think it's measured, you may have the laws of Pesach, he also comes to these conclusions. And that, according to the Sefer Midas V'Shiurei Torah, they did exactly the same thing as it's described over here on page Resh Ayin Ches. That's what the Chazon Ish did. And here's what it says over here. I'm just going to give you how did he read it to us. Here's the most important thing. The question is, of course, what's the weight of matzah per volume compared to the weight of water? That's the most critical thing of all, because in the metric system, tell me if I'm making a mistake in the metric system, a cc, which is a volume measure, correct, is metric, right? It is also a metric system of weight, correct? Who knows the metric system of weight? It's a grams, kilogram, we call it a kilo, by a kilo of meat, a kilo of potatoes, right? A kilo is about 2.2 pounds, if I'm not mistaken, correct? And what's a gram? 1/1000th of that, am I correct? So for example over here, Hadar Matzah, 16 ounces, 454 grams. Okay, do the arithmetic. You see how much about 28. Am I correct? What's 16? You have a calculator? What's 454 divided by 16? I think it's a little less than 30. It's about 28, something. What do you say?
28.37.
That's a problem. It's 28.37 grams in an ounce, approximately. Okay? So therefore, a cc, a cubic centimeter, is approximately 1 ounce, 1 fluid ounce. And then when it comes to water, it also weighs approximately, put it in metric terms.
No, pure water is exactly 1 gram for
every 1 cc. Right. So 1 cc is 1 gram.
1 gram for pure water.
For pure water.
That's the definition.
That's the definition. So 30 cc would be 30 gram, which is, again, approximately 1 ounce. Right. Just a little arithmetic. That's a tiny bit less. Okay. That's what comes to water. When it comes to matzah, right? So matzah, I mean, again, yeah, this is 1 pound, this is 454 gram. The question is, how much does it displace? So he writes over here, I'm reading what he says. I read what he says, page Reish on time. Yesh lo koshi rav limdo nefach matzah. The Chazon Ish already said so. How can you figure out? It's so difficult. It's impossible to do Archimedes' principle. So he used the word impossible. But he says he can find it. How do you do it? He checked the thickness, the machshe medida micrometri, hanikra madid vernier. What's that?
It's a
vernier
caliper.
Vernier caliper. That's what he asked. I mean, he may not have burned of a caliber, but something along those lines. Okay? This is what he says. Matzah avodat yad, which is, you know, flat, he got between 1.8 and 2.1 millimeter. You got more than that. So either this is thick, which is hard to believe, this is very thin. This is a sail of pup, which is thin. So either your machine's off by a little bit. Okay.
What are the two numbers, sir?
He has between 1.8 and 2.1. And you got 2.5.
Between 2 and 2.5.
Oh, between 2 and 2.5. So let's make it 2. Between friends. Since he got 2 and he got 2, we'll see what's 2. Sure. Even a machine matzah you can figure out by measuring what he calls a chelek shebein ha'arugot. Right? Between the... And he says it's 2.2. You said it was 2.9?
9.
Something's fishy. Measure it now. Measure again. I mean, is this a thicker than average machine?
Well, you said this is heavier.
This is 14. 15. But still, it's 2.2. Measure in a different place. Okay. And even though the arugot.
On the dotted line.
I'm trying different places.
Okay, but it has to be on the dotted line, not on the on the blown up
part.
we're not going anywhere. We're trying to figure it out. Even though the arugot, as he puts it, nirot tfuchot yoter, they're swollen, right? V'mtzius ein v'movin osaf, ki atficho yimachmas chalal arugot, which means there's an air hole, which is, you know, the matzah goes up on, that's an irrelevancy. It's really the same thing. He got 2.2.
Really?
Okay, yeah.
Why can't you do Archimedes' principle if you move it around and make sure all the air bubbles get out?
It's hard to Archimedes' principle because it's going to fill up with water. So the Chazon Ish, it's impossible because if you put it in water, it soaks up the water. Uh-huh. Only works with potatoes, the Archimedes' principle, so it doesn't soak up water. An egg.
What about doing it with like oil or something? Or some other place the same
amount? I'm sorry?
It would still displace the same amount even if it soaks up the water.
Because there's only a certain amount of water in the surface.
It's an expansion going into the mouth.
The Chazon Ish said it's impossible, so he knew more about science than anyone in this room by a long shot, even though he never left the yeshiva. So I'm not willing to take him on. It's impossible. So I don't know.
It's between 2 and 2.8.
Oh, Baruch Hashem, he got 2 and 2.8. We're going to assume it's 2.2. We'll assume that Rabbi Banish, I'm sure he did it more than once or twice, more than 100 times. We'll assume he's right, 2.2. Good. Now, he took a piece of a machine matzah, which measured 2.2, and its other measurements were 16.7 times 16.9. Now, I have this 16 point. Whoa.
Centimeter.
What?
Centimeter.
I understand that, but this one. What's the? I need your help in the math here. It's 6 inches. You got to be precise. The best of my ability, precise. That's it. So I'll do this way. 6 inches, and then there's a little bit left over from here to here. It's just under 7 inches. What was 7 inches? What's it, 2.54 centimeters? What's math? 7 times 2.54. What is it?
17.7.
It's a little bit less than 7 inches. It's 16.7. times 16.9. You see again in this arch, it's basically the same thing. A little bit less than 7 inches, these things. It's about the same. You know, it can't be so precise. And he got to the following conclusion. He measured the matzah. He measured the matzah, and it came out to 32.2 grams. 32.2 grams. Now what's that? Well, let's do a little simple measurement. We have 484 grams and then 14 matzahs. What's 484 divided by 14? 454, I'm sorry. 454 divided by 14. What does it give you?
32.4.
There you go. Came out exactly, he said 32.2. That's as close as you can get, man. How close can you get? So it's, right, so it's 32.234 grams per matzah. And what does the matzah displace? Figure it out. What's 16.7 times 16.9? Came out to 62 centimeters, cc's. 62 cc's. 62 cc's weighs 32 grams. We know that it's half the weight of water, right? Water is a one-to-one equivalency. This is the matzah weighs about half, and I have a scale over here. Matzah weighs about half the weight of water. And he tried it many times with many matzahs and crackers, and he always found approximately half. And he did it in front of a Mendel Shafran, who's masking to the measurement. Who's a Mendel Shafran? Who heard of our Mendel Shafran? You heard of him? He's an American. Yes, he's an American living in Bnei Brak. I spoke to him, I visited him in the past Sukkot, I spoke to him in English. He's an American, Hebrew also. He's an American. He's a bit of a Gera Chosid, I think, he lives in Bnei Brak. And he's a tremendous Talmud Chacham. One of the greatest Gedolim of Bnei Brak. From Dionysus, he reports on the Choshen Mishpat, but he's an A1 person. I had chutzpah to meet him, not just a bookworm. He knows a man of the world. He's my relative who went with me said I had a tough problem with him. I went tough problem with somebody. I went there and told me exactly what to do. He's a hands-on kind of a person, not just in an ivory tower. So this is when he comes to that conclusion. That being the case, Rav Osai, if you'll say that it's 22.5 cc, it's 11. That's 22.5 cc. It's 11 and a quarter. 11 and a quarter grams. Is that the right way to say it? 11 and a quarter is about half, right? So 11 and a quarter grams, and the whole matzah we said was what? About 32 grams. So what's it's about a third of a matzah, right? A little more? 11 to 33 would be one third. So it's a little more than 11, a little less than 33. Not much more than a third of a matzah. We could say less than two-fifths of a matzah. That's a fair statement. Right? And even though the Sreitz matzahs are a little bit less, because it's 15 to a pound, they're only 14 to a pound. Right? So you add a 15 over 14 to that number, will probably still be less than two-fifths. Maybe just around two-fifths. I'm not that so perfect in the math. Let's chazer again. Assuming that this matzah... Well, we can weigh the matzah. Can you please weigh the matzah? Can you weigh it? No, it's a food scale.
Yeah.
My wife says it's pretty accurate. It's great on. It should be approximately 40 grand?
No, about 30.
30 grand?
Not very,
You can't read it. A little over 30.
About 30.
Okay. Not the 30 grand makes sense. What do you say? 16. Well, almost. What time before? 16 into 454. He said it's 32. Okay. That's 32. 30. I mean, you know, he actually the time to mavish.
I think it really only calibrated in 10 grams, in 10 gram increments.
Well, the other ones. Well, that's what I bought. That's, I can't believe. If you have a more accurate, who has a more accurate scale? Anybody?
The lab.
Okay, so maybe we'll go to the lab. I'll give you my matzah. Go to the lab and measure it. I'm not trying to hide anything from you. I'm trying to come to the proper conclusion. Bottom line is, it seems to me, if you have two-fifths of a machine shmura matzah, again, is machine shmura thicker than this? Well, I can't tell. This is not a shmura. It's plain. I assume it's basically the same thing. I don't see any reason why it shouldn't be. So therefore, two-fifths of a matzah should suffice of a machine. Not to say we have a matzah to use a machine. I tell you, we should use hand matzahs. Probably hand matzahs is, how many to a pound? So it's just a mathematical cheshbon, right? We discussed it last week. There could be 10 to a pound. Sale in public claims they have 9 to 10 to a pound, right? And Satma, Shatza, they have 6 to a pound. So obviously, it's a tremendous difference. Either way, the hand matzah is weighs more than the machine, because the machine is 14 or 15 to a pound, and this is 6 to 10 to a pound. But, you know, if you're using tail and puffer, which is thin, and 10 to a pound, as opposed to this, which is, we call this 14 or 15 to a pound, so you have to increase, okay, you have to, you can eat less, right? So what? How much less? Depends. If your matzahs are fairly thick, seven to a pound. These are 14 to a pound. So left out 1/5. Right? 1/5 will suffice. A little bit of plain arithmetic. This is 14 to a pound, which it is. And your matzahs are 7 to a pound, which are many matzahs that the thick ones, the shots are on, the 7 to a pound approximately. So instead of having to have 2/5, it's enough to have 1/5. If you have tzel and papa and they're very thin, if they're that thin, as they advertise, let's say 10 to a pound, you're going to have somewhere in between. What's between 1/5 and 2/5? That's 20%. I'd say 3/10, approximately in between. So you have to 30%. Yeah, 30%. Again, it depends on the precise value. If you have 7, you have 14. If you were 10 and a half, a little bit halfway in between, you'd require 3/10, less than 3/10, less than 30% probably close to about a quarter.
That's 4/10.
All right, okay, so about a quarter, between a quarter of a matzah, a little bit more than that, should do this trick for you in the tail and pupa. If you have the thicker ones, it should be even a fifth.
That's
a one. That's a kazayis. What kazayis? A half a kebetza b'li klipas. That's assuming that our weight is accurate. So I don't want to take more time than this. It took a half an hour and then there's measurements. I want to put all the measurements away. And I'm leaving all the stuff here. I have bought flour. I want to measure the flour. That's also important. There's a whole thing about how much flour weighs. I'm not sure that's really critical for us. Flour is important or the mat's important. But I'll let you look at that. I bought some flour for that reason. And then we'll use the flour for the second experiment about chametz. Right? But I'm waiting for we have flour, the old flour on my desk. Where can we get rice flour? So looking for that.
I couldn't find it.
Where do you get rice flour? And then Rabbi Broy, just now, was here. Says to me, oh, I told him, oh, so he saw the old flour on the desk. Oats is not really for chametz. That's what he says. He wrote in that letter. He wants you to do chitin v'orez, as he wrote. Take wheat and rice. And it says, according to what he understands, if it's 10%, it's enough to do the actual grera, and it won't affect processes. It's very, very sensitive to gluten. It's only down a little bit, 10%. He told me about what he wrote in that little letter. Yes?
I can probably get rice flour.
Yeah, bring your rice flour. So if you want to get the rice flour, we'll have wheat flour, we'll have oat flour, we'll have rice flour. I believe that I'll do an experiment, and we'll see whatever we have. We're not a lab, but we'll come up when we come up. Kerbos, it's important to know these things. Yeah.
on little Seder, so I mean, would you still need to have two Kseis?
Oh, so we're not going to have a Pesach yet. I hope that our Pesach is very soon. This week. Yes, as crazy as it sounds. Belina, this week I want to start our Pesach. Why? Because I want to finish the Matzah show in a few minutes, I hope. Then we have Borrowed. The Rav Makomis we got tomorrow is a little late. I came from Rabbi Stein's wrist. Our own Rabbi Stein had a wrist today. Say, Baruch Hashem. So I should have gotten you the Makomis earlier because I should have sent it to someone last night, but I didn't. So I came a little late. But that's about Borrowed. It's not that much Borrowed. The whole Borrowed is one block tomorrow. Yeah.
A question about measuring the Shiurim.
Yeah.
So we have like scales and micrometers and all kinds of things we can do to measure them, but for most the history of Klal Yisrael, so they didn't really have access to those things. And
yeah, they were able to measure weight was absolutely
awesome. What I'm saying, like with the precision that we have, so I'm
afraid that in this room 519 in the Galak Torah Center, our precision is a little bit less than with the lab. I'm not sure they couldn't do the same in Europe 600 years ago.
So do we say that like the measurements that we come up with the more precision that those become the Ikar HaDin, or do we say
yes, absolutely. Now again, measurements of weight are not the way to do it. In theory, it's measurement of volume, but since every Jew can't say that I measure the volume, Chazal is impossible. I mean, everyone's going to take out this micrometer, and it's impossible. In reality, it's impossible. So you have to make an approximation of weight volume based upon measuring many matzahs and seeing the comparison based on water. By the way, we have water too. Just down the hall is against water, so I have those cups. Maybe tomorrow we'll compare water, not water and matzah, that's, or maybe water and flour. He is apparently the mistake, and it's not to use the word, but he's very polite, but he sort of calls it a mistake. If you look at Rabbi Ida Sevi, he talks about they ground up the matzah. Apparently the Chazon Ish also ground it up, as he recounts over here in page Reish Ayin Ches, and the stipler himself wrote a letter, which was printed in 1958, Tamshin Ches. How did he get to it? How did he do it? The Chazon Ish came to a half a matzah, a half a machine matzah was enough. I was there, says the stipler. What did he do? Tochnu lifnei moranzav, with a meat grinder. Took a meat grinder. And they ground up the matzah into a matzah v'chetzi. So I took a matzah and a half and they ground it up. And that filled up, catch us now, 150 grams, means cc's. A matzah and a half filled up, when they ground up, 150 cc's. Now, what happened? That's not true. We know the average matzah was only 62 cc's. A matzah and a half is only 90 something cc's. So how did the Chazon Ish get to 150? Although it's off by a major factor. It's off by a major factor. Hold on. If that's the case, if a matzah and a half is 150, so a half a matzah is 50 grams and others. That's why doubling the shear, that's what we got to it. There's only one problem. There's only one problem. Keyadua, and quoting here, footnote 16 of page Reisha and Ches. Aide tchinas ha matzah she dover gush. If you grind up a salad, it comes into little crumbs, particles. You put them into a cup. You think of being such a machmir by grinding it up and measuring it that way. If I carry the biggest maker in the world, because it takes up much more room. If you press down, which I've done it fine, you press down more the second time than the first time. Nonetheless, there's still going to be air gaps. If you not all at one time, layer with tremendous force. And I tried that. And guess what? Same thing. 1-2 ratio. But he did different than Chazon Ish. Chazon Ish took the whole thing and went bang down. It doesn't work that way. You take every little bit, bang. A little bit, bang. A little bit, bang. A little bit, bang. came out to a different schesher. In other words, a match and a half was going to come out to 93, not 150. That's off by a lot. That's where the whole tumul came out of. In any event, bottom line is the Chazon Ish, it's enough to have the 50 cc's. By him, 50 cc's was a half a matzah. We know that 50 cc's, we know very well, is really is closer to, I would say, 4/5 of a matzah. Right? 50 over 62. It's about 4/5. 50 over 62.5. Mavish, 4/5. Right? So the Zechariah was off. But why is 50 cc good enough for him? He should require 75 cc. Why? He doubled the kibbutz. If you double the kibbutz, what happens then? So kibbutz is 150, so half of the kibbutz should be 75. Why the Chazon Ish say that 50 is enough? This is the mystery everyone deals with. You ever with me? If he doubled, on both sides, he doubled.
The kibbutz should be 100.
Oh, yeah, right. So what am I talking about? Hold on. 50 cc's. You're right. 50 cc's is what he requires. I withdraw my last statement. 50 cc's. But the problem is that the Chazon Ish inadvertently was matter 30 cc's. Because he couldn't get an exact measurement. So why? So he says 50 cc's, that's three chumers. One, the Kazayas is the Chatzi Beitza. And the Chazon Ish al the Meikir Adin, you rely on the Rambam, that the Kazayas is only what? A third of a kibbutz, which means in today's beitzim, 2/3. So from 50, what does he really need? Only how much? What's 2/3 of 50? 33. Right? So 33 is half of a kazayas, just about. He throws in the fact that klipasa, that's an irrelevancy, because it's a half a beitz of a klipasa, it's a third of a beitz. No, this is 50 cc's is a chumra, but it's a chatzi beitz of a klipasa. And the Chazon Ish says no one holds that way. This is really a sleight of hand here, this sefer, page right against the bottom. Because the reduction to the from a half to a third, which really holds equal to him, but a third is big klipasa, as we mentioned to you last week. This is really a sleight of hand. And then he says, the idea of the doubling the shear with respect to kazayas is only a chumra bi'alma. You double for kibbutzah, but not the kazayas. Kazayas is really formally independent of the kibbutz. So that's why it was enough that one half of a kamat, even though if you really wanted 50 cc's, it would have been really been 4/5 of a mishimat. Adkan, footnote on Reish Ayin Ches, Reish Ayin Ches. It's fascinating. Any event, it seems to me that we should follow. Should have, if you're using a machine shmura, should have, what do we say? What did we say before? Two fifths? The letter. Okay. 2/5 safe. And if you have a hand, it varies from 1/5 to a quarter to maybe 4/15, somewhere in that range. Okay, depending on what kind of hand matzah you have. And I guess you can tell that you can't tell. You buy a pound of hand matzahs at 10, see how many matzahs are in it. You don't need a scientist, you don't need a rocket scientist for that. See how the public claims they put between 9 and 10 in the pack. Just add up, just count them. And we should sit, someone in this room, should work out a simple table for the average person to go home to the Seder. We're going to figure out what it is more precisely in terms of the machine matzah. And the machine is either 14/50, we'll have to figure out that this is like it. Let's say it'll be 2/5 of a machine matzah. And one of the equivalent, which is 14 or 15 per pound, okay? What's the equivalent for my hand matzah? I'm a plain Jew coming to the Seder. So I'll ask you, you have to supply one piece of information. How many hand matzahs are there to a pound? And we'll take from 6 to 10, and you'll give a number. But it's 6. Such percent. I want to put that and give it out to everybody. So if I come to your Seder, you're doing the most using hand matzahs, you'll know what's the equivalent of 2/5 of a machine matzah in your hand matzah. Right? The thinner it'll be, the more to a pound, the greater percentage of the hand matzah it'll be. It could be 30%. The thicker, the less it will be. It could be 20%. We don't have to make that judgment say tonight. We'll have to know that's a worthwhile tablet to give out to everybody. Okay? So I'm asking the people to come in to work it out. It's just arithmetic. Okay? Assume we have 2/5 of a matzah, which is, let's say 15 to a pound. That's the 14 to a pound. Make both cheshbonim. I don't know, we'll figure out what to do with the approximations. How much is that in terms of a hand matzah, if the hand matzah is 6, 7, 8, 9, or 10 to a pound? I don't think it's going to be less than 6 or more than 10. Yeah.
Why doesn't one just give the recommendation to say eat continuously for a minute or something like that, and then you're sure of unless someone's aged and not...
Certainly eat continuously for a minute, and eat continuously for 2 minutes, it's a matter of fact. We're going to discuss later, Mitzvah Hashem, we're going to have a Pesachim, why it's kedai to eat more matzah than the minimum. I'm happy to discuss it with you very shortly, long before Pesach. But I want to know the eke with it. We'll get to the 2 kazeis of the Mechaber, and then the whole shtickle of the Netziv, people will look at the Misha Ochel Zayas Yotza. This is what we'll get to later on. But the more we eat, maybe the better off it is. I want to think within this.
But to be honest, though, this year isn't relevant for anybody, because of course, if someone who's healthy should be keep eating and as eat as much as possible, and someone who's really sick and can't manage can eat the Mamish Shira Kazayas.
I mean, the Shira is 3 cc's or 7.5 cc's. Okay. Someone wants to follow the Mechaber. We are a nation. We usually follow Rav Yosef Karo when Rambam doesn't disagree. That's what we try to do. To be traditional Jews, okay?
I mean, in Europe, Rav Yosef always says that his
this
where
one.
I think it says
still here.
Palm of the hand without the finger.
Without the finger, just
yeah.
This much.
Yeah.
Let's start from Chaim Olajim.
Right.
It's nothing. But it didn't say how thick it was. But it's small, obviously, piece of matzah. So what is that? How much is that? Hand matzah. So what is that? It's hard to know what kind of ratio that is to a well, take the palm of your hand, what percent of you guys can figure out. Who can get a hand on a hand? Who can get his hands on a hand matzah?
Right,
no, it's not a whole thing.
It's still big up. Okay.
Yes. Look.
I mean, the whole point is that it's an approximation.
Right. If this is enough, that's here. Just the top part. What is this compared to a full hand mat? We can figure out with your arc, I guess, with the geometry. What is it? A tenth? I think it's about a tenth. Which is half, I'm telling you that. So they held this for the 7, let's say the 7.5 cc. They gave it to Rebbe. It's maybe less than a tenth. It's hard for me to figure out. Whatever it is, we're just trying to be good Jews here, most. Okay, let's put this away for the moment and talk a little bit about nefuchas and kfulas, and then I want to start with more. We have a lot to take care of. Okay, we're both saying, I'm leaving everything here. I'm not taking anything home. Everything's here, and he has a whole arichas about the weight of flour. How much of it's relevant to us at all? We care about matzah, not about flour.
Also, the water. You have to consider everything else.
I'm happy to go to again. I'd like the Talmidim to try to figure out to check out his measurements, although I'm sure it's good, and I think he comes to the space of the same thing. The relative weight of matzah to water. He has it basically 2 to 1. For every unit of water, you can get 2 such units, volume wise, of matzah. It's critical that we know it's so important. It's a little bit more than I'm accustomed to in terms of these kinds of things, but fine. Again, if someone, as Yaakov says correctly, if someone has problems, they should have even a much smaller shear, because even as we said, even as little as 3 cc's is very likely to be the size of today. 7.5 cc's with the Rebach, someone should try to do that. It can't hurt. It certainly can be oat to the mitzvah. Someone has some kind of gluten intolerance and is having oat matzah, which has a tiny bit of gluten in it, then I would say have that smallest amount, not to get sick. Okay. Fine. We're on both sides. Let us analyze a few important things. It's quoted in the Sefer Matzos Mitzvah, the Tana should be as hot as possible. We're back to baking matzos. Should be as hot as possible. We had discussed last time the problem of the chain getting too hot. So I think it was Rabbi Kirshner Shlita told us that he measures both the matzah and the chain as it's coming into the oven. The matzah is only 72, which is very room temperature. That was very good. But the chain itself, he said, it measured 103 degrees. He said, it's mutter. You know why it's mutter? Less than yasa letzba. But it is true. 103 is yasa letzba choladeh. Even the biggest mammoth is 104. playing dangerous. But we assume, like, from Shlomo Zalman until 113 or 110, whatever it is. But they didn't have too much of a margin to spare. That's the reality. That's the reality. They try to get colder. I don't know if they measure it with in scientific thermometers in the tail of Pumpy. It's a little more hamish a place now that they're sitting there and measuring it, but they try. In Strites, we said the oven was 950 degrees. And in tail of Pumpy, I think it said 800 degrees. Am I? What did I say? 800 degrees. Why must it be so hot? Why must it be so hot? Two different reasons are given. The Sefer Matzah Smith's on page Reish and Pesach Gimel. One is fascinating. The Eish Lavram Buchach in the back of the Shulchan Aruch. He says like this. We discussed the possibility that a particular place on the oven will put on that place a matzah kfula or a matzah nefucha. We'll try to describe a little bit more in a few minutes. And the question becomes, are you required to kasher it? And the reason why you don't have to kasher, what do we say? It's self-kasher. Well, why is it self-kasher? There's always that tremendous fire. But in order to self-kasher, the tremendous fire has to be tremendous. Not enough that it be, according to the Machmirim anyway, not enough that it should be, I don't know, what the typical oven is today, call it 350, 450, 550. That's not enough. When we learned the halachas of kashering libun, the Rav Moshe came up with a shear of 700. 700, Rebosai. The 700 is very, very hot. That's why you have to have a tremendous fire, hot fire. Not so much for baking the matzahs proper, but in order to create this automatic hesek, which the poskim spoke about, which we mentioned last week, the automatic hesek, which exists all the time, because it's going to be more than 700 degrees. And as we said before, one is 800, one is 950, both more than the 700 degree shear, which we had spoken about earlier. This is according to the Sefer Eishel Avram Buchach. Again, there's a discussion over here in the Eishel Avram. Reading from here, but I'm not exactly sure. Talk a lot about kfulas. I'm not finding that particular line right now. Sure, it's somewhere here. Well, is there here? No, boring by Tanu Tomin. Shetechem shenodin amata nasa amekomak and nisek mechorosh. They halav vachomak acholim. So you have to have a very, 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 very high fire. Where is this? Eishel Avram. End of Simon Tov Samach Aleph. So that's what we're referring to. That's reason number one. Reason number two. You want it to bake as fast as possible, so there should be any problem of chilus. Who says this reason? The Shita Mekubetis and Beitza, Chav Beis and Beis. Quoted by the Kafachai. That's why we bake such thin and hard matzahs. How long did they say it? In the strides, it took a minute and a half to go through. And how many seconds did he say it took him to sail in Papa? 10 to 15 seconds, right? What he said?
Yeah.
Right? And it was true. So well, then I didn't check my watch, but it was. Huh?
So some of them say they have it longer. That's the way they
stayed longer?
Wait, like 16 seconds.
No, you checked your watch?
About like
15 seconds. 10 to 15 seconds. That's pretty fair. That's why we can't make your delicious Spanish matzahs. It has to be more than 15 seconds of the oven. It has to be.
Check 3 minutes.
It takes 3 minutes?
Soft nuts, it's like 2 or 3 minutes.
Takes 2 or 3 minutes? Okay.
There's actually been a lot of problems with the very thin nuts because they burn on the outside and they're still raw on the inside. Because they put them in, the oven is so hot.
You mean the nuts that we just saw at Salem Thomas?
I don't know Salem Thomas, but with regular hand nuts, there have been problems in the past.
I think Mishkiel spoke about that.
He did.
Rabbi Welcher.
Yeah.
What did he say?
That's why they check every month.
Yeah, but if it's raw inside, it's Rabbi Welch, the big tzaddik on top of the top, he doesn't have X-ray vision. The tremendous top of the top. X-ray vision doesn't have.
You can sort of, if you can start separating the monster just by
pulling. Okay, but.
The monsters are so thin that if they're cooked on both sides, is there enough room in the middle for you?
Yeah. Right, that's why they make it so thin, there should be almost no room for anything to be uncooked, unbaked, I should say, in between.
And then it dries, so you can't tell what's.
I don't know either. The Chazon Ish says, as long as it's Yad Soleres Bo, there's no Chashash Chimus. This is a riot. If it's less than Yad Soleres Bo, going to the strike spot the bakery, it's not a problem of getting, it wasn't Yad Soleres Bo, then it's fine. We saw it already last time. But some try to make the chain hot, not cold. Once Yad Soleres Bo, it's good enough. Nonetheless, ideally, it should be done right away. Where do you find this? Take a look at Siman Tov. Look at your Mishnah Berurah. Tov Samach Aleph, Reb Osai. Tov Samach Aleph, Siv Beis. Tov Samach Aleph, Siv Beis. And we saw this last week, if you recall, the Tapka. Tapka was found in the Gemara back in the Flam of the Beis. Tapka. Right? Kevin Shur Shoi Tapdeo. Even though there's no fire directly, hapas nefesh miyad benavol dechimutz. That's what it says. Right. That's all. Look at the post. Can they say it's good enough? Okay. What about this kfula story? What happens to kfula? What is kfula? How does kfula come about, Rabbi Osai? There are two kinds of kfula. The kfula that takes place outside the oven, it's not really a kfula. The kfula, that's what it says in the same message. The kfula really is a problem. Happens inside the oven. When two matzahs touch each other, for example, in the oven, or a fold develops in the oven and the fire cannot actually bake it. Take a look, if you will, in Siman Tov Samach Aleph Siv Hei, turn one page, talks about these things. Matzah shen iskapla v'tanur u'dvuka a'she'en sholet shavo'esh osmin osa toch ha'pesach abo shah matzah shen v'tanur l'mutarin the code and Pesach and Lester at Mokon Dibuka, okay, the place where it sticks. Okay, let's go a little bit further. Matan Nefucha of Emtisa, swollen, Asura. Okay, well, that's before we go any further. I want to go back to the Mishnah Berurah, Sivkot Chav Tes. Sivkot Chav Tes. The other matzahs we say are okay, if they touch each other, they need to cover Shosef Mechaticha Lechaticha Belarote. What's Kedei Netila? The side of a finger. Did you notice there were Welcher and his son and those guys? What were they doing? When they saw a kful, what did they do? They kept breaking off matzahs. They didn't break off the matzah right exactly the point of the problem. They broke up at least the fingers width away from the place of the problem. That's what's called Kedei Netila. So they made sure that the place where they broke it off was at least a finger's width away from the place of the problem. As for the Mishnah Berurah, that a kfula can aser up to a kadei netila of the non-kfula part of the matzah. Take a look over here. It's a kot lamed beis. Look at the buka usio kadei netila vashar mutter. Right? Vashar mutter. It's better to take out with a different marda if you know what marda. I don't think you can figure out. So I never see. He only used one marda the whole time we were there, and I don't think he knew he was taking any kfulas. Why? What about the fucha? The fucha is also aser. Avalim ola ola krum kiderav shaol al pas b'shas afia muteres. That's considered to be muter. If there's no krum, Mishnah Berurah labedalet asura kol hamata. Whoa, this is different. The entire matzah is prohibited. Afa mokon shelo nafka. Why? Why? Why different than kfula? Explains. Keiman shenasa cholo be'avya talinam Shenischam tzakula. And even 60 connected won't help. Even before Pesach won't help. This is only with the cholo godol. Like an egg goes loose. Hazelnuss. What's that in English? I don't know.
Hazelnut.
Okay. Hazelnut? That's pretty big. Okay, well, etzba godol, barely the average sum. It's about the same as hazelnut. Okay? That's only if it goes up. This is what it says. This is what's called blezelach. But I'm not an expert in all these things that he's talking about. But if you look at the Mishnah Berurah Medal, you see some of the other problem that he talks about. It's interesting, Rabbi Osai. Take a look at Sivkot and Lamed Hay, the Mishnah Berurah. Krum Dak Malamala will help. Yesh Me'achronah Shekosu. Shari Tshuva. Next page. The b'matzos dakol shalonu ein lochos la babuah tzvachalonu hanikar mi b'chutz mi'afnin. K'derech ruba de ruba anasta mecham machmas o'or. Shafilu einam krumim dakim raksas b'ovim ein lochos. There's nothing to worry about. Why? Afuach ben tzihisa d'hayna shenifrit chatzi ha'ovi ha'elyam ve'atachnon. Dezeo shiach rak b'matzos ha'ovos tas. Could be a tzel and pumpa de'adlon afuchos. That's what he says. Again, it's a very thin matzah. There's room to be made according to this understanding of the Mishnah Berurah. It's if katan lam and hay. Not everyone agrees. The Shari Tshuva quotes one. Amach lokes. And when does it happen? It's look at the kafa chayim ayin tes. This happens when the matzah gets off the floor of the oven. So then it can't bake so quickly. Some disagree. Even on that. Fine. Now, Rabbi Osai, take a look one more time in Mishnah Berurah Sivkatan Yud Gimel. Okay. Sivkatan Yud Gimel. We've been here before, but our final pass through this. Ein chut in nimshach. That's a big problem. If it's underbaked. It's underbaked. Chut in nimshach. Ein chut in nimshach means it's fully baked. Says, this is important, Mishnah Berurah. Even if it's going to fall apart when you move it, we would say it must be by definition underbaked. No! That's not called underbaked. No. He quotes the Chok Yaakov from Arashi and Menachas, Dafayim Chetz. And then he says, and you test, Wadin in Metatl also be other vein of the Freches, Simon Mubuk, Shein Chutin and Shokam Yemen. That's clock. Based upon the Gemara in the Sefer Menachos. And even if it's ain't chut in the Mishachim, it's still kolusha ma'od for the frechus shematatlo. So before the Gemara that way, at one point anyway, the Sefer Menachos on the fayin ches, and therefore the hard matters are assumed to be way past the stage of chut in the Mishachim, and they're considered to be mutter. I have here all kinds of matters which people thought were no good. Hand. Some machine that's in the yellow bag, and I have some hand in the white bag. I'm not going to take time now. Tomorrow, I'll leave these matzahs around the base of Emesh. You show me what you think is no good. I'm bad at these things. There's some no good piece according to the mashkichim and all these.
There's one that's clearly mefucha, has raw dough on the inside.
Mamash raw dough?
Yeah.
That's in the machine.
Yeah, it was in the machine.
Right. But they caught it. God, they caught it. I wouldn't want to have them in my matzah box. It shouldn't happen. How did it happen? It's automated.
It looked like they have one guy. When they're packaging, they have one guy who's Shomer Shabbos who's looking for
right.
These things.
Everyone else
is.
I didn't
find
it. It's scary. So obviously, it's a very rare thing, but it can happen. It can happen. So just using. I eat these matzahs. I mean, I ate them in a matzah, but I'm not sure if it's any better than that. It should be a little bit better than that perspective. But
has Rebbe ever had any balabatim or knows anyone who got a
who came to you with a complaint that the matzah was
had a problem on Pesach that they found?
No one ever came to me and said, Rebbe, my matzah's chametz. What do you think of it? I said, throw it in the fire. If he calls me about it, throw it in the fire. Throw it out the window. Any question before we move tomorrow? Again, tomorrow you still have a chance to show me some of the what you think the choice selection you think are inappropriate. And we'll still have to come back with some more measurements before we can sign off on them. And maybe we'll go to our experiment, which one we get the rice flour, because we now have wheat flour and oat flour right here on this floor. We'll do three experiments and see what happens. We'll see how this works. But now we're moving on tomorrow. Yes?
Is
Why would the 18 minute monsters make it any better in terms of that problem?
I'm thinking that the problem may have come about, maybe, from things were stuck around in the previous Gilgal. Although it shouldn't happen. The machine is an order, it's an order, it's like a girl. Nothing it shouldn't happen.
We need to have a fool up from that, right?
The machine is something which didn't look too good. I'm assuming it could have bumped into something which was there for the previous run, the previous hour or 3 hours of run. We came at we came at 10 o'clock. It was up and running for 3 hours already. Right? I'm hoping the first 18 minute run would be much better. But it's stamped 18 minute amount.
You can tell. You can look at it. It's not like it.
Oh, see it, right. Yeah. You have to an island. An island below Yuru. That's my odds. I don't have good odds with these things. That's a problem.
Matzo bell should be a problem because somebody doesn't catch it.
That's right. Matzo male, it can just get ground up. Right.
Sure.
So matzo male, yeah. There's 18 minute matzo male too?
What about bintel?
Yeah, bintel. You don't see it anymore. The full face.
You can also make your own matzo male.
You're eating it too.
Both. Okay. We're both saying, I'm ready to start the Mishnah about tomorrow. Let's go. Lama Tesla now, we have a half an hour to go. Trying to make a dent in the sugya of Mor. Bisyata Dishma. The Mishnah Lama Tesla now tells us the five types of Mor. We have five types of matzah, five types of grain, and five types of vegetation. Ve'elai Yerokas. Shodan Yotze and Yudei Chavotze the Pesach. Chazeres, the different girsos over here. Our girson, and the way we read it is Chazeres, Tamcha, Chavina, Ulshin, and Mora. That's our version. Why don't you turn to the Mishnah? So keep one hand here, and the Mora turn to the Mishnah. All the Agamars in the back have a regular, ordinary Mishnayas with Bar Tanuru, with Tosis Yotze, with the Rambam. All the way in the back, after the Tosefta. It's called Perik Beis Mishnah Vav. It's a page Vav of the one, the old Zohar version. You see it in the back. It's right after the Tosefta. Come and see it. Eli Yerachas Shalom Yosef Havatzim Petra. The Chazeres Be'ulshin. Ulshin's in second place. Right? It's a batting order. Ulshin, Tamcha, Chachavina, Umbumorah. So this is different than our Mishnah. Our Mishnah has Chazeres first. Has Mara last, that's true. But the other three are mixed up. Our version has... Our version has what? Tamcha Charvim the Ulshin. And here it has Ulshin Tamcha Charvim. So Ulshin was moved up from fourth place to second place. Like that. Was moved up in the lineup. He had a hitting streak, Ulshin. So he moved up from fourth place to second place in the lineup. Not sure about major league, maybe fourth place is a higher cleanup bat, actually. That's higher Madrig. But in our lineup, the first one bats first is the highest Madrig. Okay? Good. Now, what do these things mean? We're going to go flip back and forth between the Mishnah, the Gemara, and the Mishnah, and just keep your hand. We'll start with the Gemara, that's what Rashi says. What do these things mean? Kulam Parash the Gemara, says Rashi. Says the Gemara. Chazeres Chasa. What's Chasa? Lettuce, as everyone knows. Lituga, as Rashi says. Lituga is lettuce. Ulshin, Hindavi. What's Hindavi? Endives, it's quite clear. Right. Hindavi sounds like endives. I mean, I'm not sure if it's a Greek root, a Latin root, whatever it is. They have other kashupla of Rashi, whatever it is. Fine. Tamcha, all of a sudden we're getting in trouble. From Rabbi Machana, Tamcha says Shema. Oh, that's like, you know, cheese is cheese and meat is meat. It doesn't help us so much. Tamchas, tamchas. Great. What did Rashi say? Merubia. Lazi Rashi and Merubia. Pirish Esev Mar. Great. A bitter herb. Is the word Esev an herb?
Grass.
A bit of grass or herb. Okay. Same thing, really. Bitter herbs or grass. Fine. Next. What's next? Charchvina. Atvisa de Dikla. What does that mean? Siva Godel Venikra Sava Ledekla Shakorin Vidula. What's Vidula? Siv. What's Siv?
String or
bast.
Kork of the Siv. It's a what?
It's called Bast.
B-A-S-T?
Yeah.
What does that mean?
It's like the fibery
substance
that
goes around
the tree.
Well, the ground tree, okay. Fibery thing around the tree, good. And finally, the last one is called maror. What is maror? Merirta. Tamchas, tamchasa, maror, merirta. Those are the least helpful. So we've got the other three we know more or less. One is lettuce, one is endives. But the other one is we call it bast, B-A-S-T?
Yeah.
Another the new word. Okay, but we know what it is. It's a sieve, which is something, karcha of a sieve. It's some kind of thing which you wrap things around with, which is
vine?
I'm sorry?
Like a vine?
That's not quite a vine. I wouldn't call it a vine. It's hard to know exactly what it really means. Sieve, which grows around the deckel. It doesn't have to be a deckel after, but it grows around some kind of thing which grows around it. Fine. Ad kan de Gemara, Bosa.
There's Rashi and
Gemara. We read the Rashi, did we not? More Rashi? I think we read the Rashi, as far as I can tell. Now there's a Gemara later on, talks about Amarais, let's go. Well. Gemara has Tanema Kaparo. Ul Shem Tamcha Charchal and Charchal and Vachazer. Ul Shem Sada, Ul Shem Gina. Chazeres, Ul Shem Gina, Vachazer. We have different things. Ulshe Sadek, Ulshe Gina, Vachazer. It's fine. A bunch of other things, I don't know exactly what they mean. More or less the same thing. Second wide line, where it says, Chazeres, Ulshen, Tamcha, Charvanin, Vachaginin, Ubahar Dufnin. Also, Chazeres Yulin, Chazeres Galin, Harkarbulin. What does it mean? It means, Kol Shieshlo Sraf. Now we get to Simon. What does Sraf mean, Rabbi Osan? Sap. Does lettuce have sap? No?
In the
inside. Isn't there some sap? I hope so. Otherwise we're in big trouble. Look on the computer. Does lettuce have some kind of sap? Hope so. The one goes further. Kol shepanav machsifin. What does machsifin mean? Palish, right? Pale. It's not a very dark color. It's a pale color. I think that's what it means, Maxi. Eno Yorok Maot Kakarasi. It's not green like leek. A la paldish. What's paldish, Rabosai? Pirish Maxifin Malbinin Kimo Kesef. It gets a little bit whitish. Well, lettuce is whitish, right? It's not dark green. Lettuce is whitish. Some letters are dark green, but some letters are white. Let's go a little bit further. A little further. Call Yerek Mar. Yesh, Lok, Sraf, Upana, Maxim. If it's bitter, by definition, it has these things. Okay? Different cool name. Yerek Mar, Yesh, Lok, Sraf, Upana, Maxim. We assume that those are the Siman that works. Fine. Mitzvah v'chazeres, it's better than chazeres. Why is chazeres the best? Why is mitzvah b'chazeres? I wasn't explain why, because it's the first one. My chazeres chasa, we call it lettuce. Why do you call it chasa? The chas rachmani lava, unbelievable. The notion of rachmanis. Lo nimshu mitzriim kemarar. Lo malachom amarar zed tchilas rach v'sofo koshe. After tzriim tchilas rako, perach. They enticed us. The Sof of Kosh, they enslaved us mercilessly. Mercilessly. This is the basic sugya in the Gemara. Moses is borrowed Nika for Kesef Meiser. It has to be something which is food, that you can buy it with Kesef Meiser. It has to be a food. And that's, in a sense, what the Gemara discusses to sum up the whole Lama Tesmah. That's what it says. Yes, sir.
If the order is significant here, does that mean that the order is also significant
on the Lama Tesmah? Yeah, sure.
That means that
chitim is the best thing. It's better to use wheat, for sure. If you have a stomach with your stomach problems, spelt and oats will help you. Fine. But we always have a wheel up. We all have wheel. So, Rabosai, yes.
It seems like, according to whoever took the Mara, that there seems to be a chash that if it's more bitter, it should be better.
Oh, you want to know how come our lettuce is not bitter? How can we also say that to be bitter? That's a good question. Excellent question. Yes?
Don't they say if you have at least with the romaine lettuce, if you eat enough of it, it gets more bitter or tastes more bitter.
I have argued.
Well, the Ushami is
So, the Chazanish. People depend. Everyone knows more than that. That's unbelievable. How you guys know so much? Chazanish wanted
that.
From the Haggadah,
they have those nice.
All Haggadah, that's right. The Chazanish is the only person that I know about who wanted to eat, that you should eat bitter herbs, literally. Bitter herbs. How do you get bitter herbs? Lettuce is not bitter. What do you do?
Endives.
No. Endives. Endives bitter?
Yeah.
If up to me, I would use endives. But it's a departure from traditions, I use lettuce. But they say that the Chazanish left the lettuce in the ground lower than usual. It turned better?
I use frank.
We never heard of frank yet, so far. We saw Rashi on like both sides. Let's take a look at all the other classical we've shown him in the commentaries. So the Rambam and Pirush Mishnayos. Oh, let's look. Let's look at both. See, the Rambam's Pirush Mishnayos. And I saw the Kappa is a little bit different, but we have a over here. He tells over here what are the Chazeres Chasa Ulshin Yadua Endives Kamcha Min Mimine Ulshin. It's comparable to endives. El Shugadol Beginos Grows in guards. Not some kind of endive like thing. Chachmina Al Krita Morar Min Kuzbat Marbiosin. It means also very bitter herbs. That's what it means. What does the Baruch Tanura say about these things? Chazeres, chasa lettuce, melas, ulshim endives, right? Tamcha, siv hagadol, sviros hadekel. Whoa! We had that for what? This we had it for what? We're looking at Rashi. Rashi uses the same exact words, siv hagadol, sviros hadekel, to explain what? To explain atzav sadadikla, which is chachavina. You begin to wonder, is it a typo? But it really can't be, because Chachavina is something else. What's Rav Yitzchak Al Katzana? And Morar is Kuzbat and Arvios, like the Rambam. Oh! So we finally get to the Taisus Yom. What does he say? Against everybody else. What does he say? He says over here is false. Tamcha, Pirish Arav Silagoro, Vatemu! No! Tamcha is a Shmei. Al Chachavina, Rish Lakish says, it's Tamcha the Dick, which is Siva Gadol. What's going on? The Baratanu is a Pel Otsum. Pel Eplon. But Anu Regila, the Fatu, the Tamcha, Shumasha Karmel, Ashen Askin, as Crane. The Chain of a First and Medivir, Akron, and the Chron of the Rock. Crane. Where does this come from, Rabosa? It's incredible. Where the chayin has nothing to do with Morar. Morar is, Rabbi Osai, bitter herbs. Chayin is not bitter, it's sharp. It's not an herb. It has nothing to do with any of the Mishnah. Pillei ploim. Where does it come from? So you'll find it, Rabbi Osai, in Tosfos Yontif. Before that, you'll find it in the two earlier sources. One, you'll find it in the Rashi and the Rif. Who wrote Rashi and the Rif? We're not exactly sure. Is it exactly legitimate? We're not exactly sure. But take a look at Rashi on the Rif. Rashi on the Rif, Rabosai, an hour dapin is over here on page Lamed Beis and Gimel. And this, they call it the pseudo Rashi. The so called Rashi on the Rif tells you about Merirta. Okay, Merirta. It says over here, Meretich. Everyone see it? It's page Lamed Gimel, about the 10th narrow line there, with Rashi. Meretich. What does retich mean? What's a retich? Retich. Don't forget it. Radish. Sounds the same thing. Retich is radish. What is meretich? Bitter radish. Mar is a Hebrew term. The word M-E-R, or that shorosh of the likes, mean two different things, and I guess it's called Latin. Right? Who knows Latin? Greek? Latin is Latin. Latinic slang. M-E-R means the sea. What do we have in English language that has the word M-E-R to be? What? Maritime. Okay? It was probably meant M-E-R was a sea radish, as it grew. Keneged, as it has in the Latin. It grew keneged hayam, right? The opposite or near to the sea. However, some Germanic individual didn't know the Latin well enough, And he presumably understood meretich from the shoresh, not of M-E-R, maritime, M-A-R, the sea, but M-A-R-E, a horse, a mare. Hence, in English, it's called horseradish. Even the English word is a mistake. According to the Rashi al-Arif, I'm serious, this was printed by Rabbi Dr. Schaefer in his famous article in Gesher, or Yeshiva YU publication, S-O-Y, Rabbi Isaac Hunt, 1981, quoted, to my surprise, by none other than, I guess I left it in my office, Hagoyin from Moshe Mordechai Karp, Shalita, from Kiryat Sefer. He's one of Rabbi Yashin's right-hand men, and he was the one who came to talk about the fish. That was the whole write about it. They said his name about fish. I thought his name is Carp. No kidding. They don't believe his name is Carp. Name of a fish. He's coming to talk about it. But he is. He's a major Talmud Chacham for many wonderful svarim, including Hilchos Chag V'Chag. I just left it there. He quotes Reb Aleph Shefer in the Choveres Shiyotza Ayde Yeshivas Hagri Hey Gimel Reish Yud Aleph in New York B'Tavshin Namal. He quotes. I can't remember Mr. Chacham. I didn't want to fully still fill out the name, I guess. But he treats him with respect. He doesn't bash him. He doesn't agree with him at the end of the day. He's got to have a Masorah. Masorah means it's grain. But I'll bring it in. I'll read it to him, how he deals with him, I think, in a respectful fashion.
I was wondering about that.
Is he a closet American? So many things don't worry, really Americans, you know? It's unbelievable.
Rabbi Moses,
I met last night. I gave early shiur last Sunday. Remember, I was running out to a conference down in Columbus Circle. I wasn't early enough. I missed Rabbi Moses' presentation, but I said hello to him on the way out, and he was sitting there the whole time for the next presentation. It was about that. To tell the whole story, he's Rabbi Yosher's man. He's one of the close associates of Rabbi Yosher Shlita. Anyway, neither here nor there. Either he reads English or someone read English for him. I'll try to find out if he's a. There's a Kiryat Sefer. I'll find out if he either has a. Maybe his wife's American. It's another secret that many people zeichet to have. But anyway, I'll try to find out how he got to the English. But he does deal with it respectfully. I don't have the words in front of me right now, but either tomorrow I'll bring it in and show it to you. Okay, how did this happen? He doesn't say it's Tamcha. No, Chas V'Shalom. He says, what is it? Rashi in the Rif. Merirta, it says it's meretich, which means horseradish. It's a pell how it got it. No one knows how it got it. It's a whole arichus in that article. Who wrote Rashi on the Rif? And maybe there's a special number of the translations, or I could say translations, are later editions of copyists, as he puts them. In other words, even if Rashi is a legitimate sefer, but some of these lazim of translation of the language, maybe later additions. Where else? Now, apparently, he gives you the history. When was the Rashi on the Rif compiled? Sometime in the 13th century. In the same century, the 13th century, you'll find a comment to this effect in the Hagos Maimini, also written at the same time. Now, the Hagos Maimini, if you look at the Sharblah, Hagos Maimini, I'll tell you what. We didn't say we wrote everything. The Magad Mishnah, the Kesef Mishnah. Doesn't say that? Hold on. It was quite. Let's see. I'm not telling exactly what it is, but they say it's written by a Talmud of the Maharam in Wittenberg. Named Rav Meir HaKohen. He wrote the Hagos Maimonios, which is a Hagos on the Rambam by an Ashkenazi Chum, Rav Meir HaKohen. And is that the same as the Ramach? Is that the same person? He's also a Meir HaKohen.
I think so.
Is it the same person? Check it out. Look at the book, the Rishonim. See if the Ramach and the Hagos are the same, Rav Meir HaKohen. In any event, huh? Let me. Is that the same person?
No.
a Wikipedia. I'll look at him and fly. We'll take him anyway. I asked you to see the Rambam in Terek Zion. You can look at the back. Just the Rambam. You can't see that Gaus Maimon, but you have that. Terek Zion, Lacha Yud Gimel. Tells you as follows. Merorim Amurim B'Torah Hein Achazeres V'Ha Ulshin. He has the Girsa of the Mishnayos. Ulshin is in second place. V'Ha Tamcha. Doesn't translate it. V'Ha Chavash Kivivna. V'Ha Mora. Not much help in terms of identification in the Rambam. It's all called Mara. Fine. Says the Agos Maimoni in Sivkot and Chof. Chazeres, he says, is Letuga, letters. Ulshin is Hundivi, endives. Tamcha, Meritich, Bilaz, Marbuya. That's a steer when they obey. Mabuya is Rashi's word, Rabosa. And what is Rashi's word? It's a bitter herb. Ace of Ma, nothing to do with what's Rashi. The Chastir Menei Obey in the Agos Maimon, which we have. Chachvino, Atzaf to the Dikla, and the Kerem Sid. Atka doesn't translate Moro. Why? I'll give you a hint for later. He may consider Moro to be an all inclusive term. Anything bitter is considered to be Moro.
Wow, it's only four.
He doesn't mention anything about the fifth guy, Moro. Maybe he didn't mention it, maybe he holds that Moro is not a specific min. Moro comes to include anything which is bitter. There are only four min.
Moro gives it a targum.
Right, so we'll see soon. We'll see that there's going to be Rishon. But there's nothing in here as far as Moro. But this idea of Meritich, Belaz, Marbio is a steer in Eobed. He quotes a whole series of Shinuyei Nuskos. Let me first before quote one of him. He this precedes Frankel, I think. I'm pretty sure. The Shabbos Frankel first time with all the Haskamas came out, they have the dates on the Haskamas. Staff against Tuf Tavad Aslam Dei. Moshe is Tov Shel Lamed Beis. Preceded by almost 10 years. So let's look at the Shinuyei Nuskos in the back. They have a Shinuyei Nuskos not only on the Rambam, when that goes firing as well. Let's see what the scholars he has. We're in Hilchos Chometz U'Matzah, Perek Zayin, Halacha Yud Gimel. Let's see what it says. Halacha Yud Gimel. Not a word. Not a word. Nothing. Dr. Schaefer, when he quotes the Agos Maimon, which he does, obviously, he gives you a number of different texts. He went to various manuscripts, etc. I'll read you what it says. He says like this. Fascinating. The Amsterdam edition says, Miritich Belaz Murvia. So we have. Makes no sense, he says. He's not afraid to talk with you. He's one of us. Makes no sense. He's right. It makes no sense. Because it's just a contradiction. One is horseradish, and one is a bitter herb. The two are not obviously impossible. They don't make the same. So therefore, he's looked at the different manuscripts. Merit is mentioned in all but one. There's one that does not mention it. Constantinople edition, Kushta we call, has Meritich as Tamcha. In the British Museum, no translation. The Badia Library, Tamcha is Meritich Belaz Marva. That's what we have. Again, makes no sense. Another one has Meritich and Marva, also called the Oroch. Oroch has a more like closer to Rashi. And the Nuremberg Archives, Miritich Balaz Mirvia. Then he called the Aruch, different Balaz. So, how much of these comments were actually written by Rav Meir HaKohen, or whether any part at all was, is questionable. But he says, no other Talmud of the Maharami mentioned this. He had the Russians as Talmud, the Tashmits as Talmud, wrote up. Nobody. It's not going to be. And then he says, to prove that he never said it, it was not picked up for another 200 years. There's a Mea coin was nifter in the 13th century, and 200 years passed before anybody picked up on this. Who was the first one? The Leket Yosef, the Talmud of the Truma Sadeshin. He's the one who says that Kos Agos Maimon. Now, when did he live? When did the Leket Yosef live? When did the Truma Sadeshin live? Truma Sadeshin, yeah. Truma Sadeshin lived from 1390 to 1460. The Leket Yosef is his Talmud. So presumably he lived somewhere in the 15th century. About times in the 13th century. 200 years later, what happened? Went off the map for 200 years? This leads him to the impression, this means some later copy is put in. It does not go back to Rishon. That's what I think. And the Rashi Al-Rib, also a lot of copyists puts things in. My gut reaction is that no Rishon ever said it. Not what's meant by the final Rishon. We should see later.
If he's a Talmud of the Truma Sadeshin, he may be a Rishon himself.
The question is where do we divide between Rishon? You're right.
He's just quoting, so.
Yeah, but he's quoting. Okay, but he's quoting. Where is the difference in Rishon and Achron? Is there a year? Let me tell you where to look for this. Look in the beautiful introduction in the Machon Yerushalayim edition of the Tshuva Smarik. Arif Kulo lived then in the 15th century. And he explained that the Rishon and Achron are two or three different historical events which made a sort of a break between those two groups. One was the eastward migration, both for Ashkenazim and for Sephardim. Ashkenazim moving from the center of France and Germany, where they were pushed, they were being killed, as we all know, expelled and being killed from France and Germany and England, and moving to Poland and Hungary and those nations. That's number one. And same thing for the Sephardim, as we well know, were expelled in 1492, and then from Portugal to shortly thereafter, and moving east to Greece and Turkey and Eretz Israel and other nations. That's one major thing which happened then. And the second major event of that period of time was?
That's it.
The printing press. Rishonim wrote, Achronim printed. Bishaita. Again, these are just approximate. I think we have a third event which escapes my mind now. That's more or less the people say. If he lived then, he was just on the border. It's a Marik, he said, was on a transition, on the scene. So the Leket Yosef, you want to call him a Rishon, call him an Achron. The Machaber. Machaber is already the 16th century. We called him an Achron. He lived a long life, but we don't call the Machaber a Rishon. Right?
He's also quoting Rishon, so that would also show.
But no, the Rav Yosef Karam himself, he's a Rishon.
I think in Nefesh HaRav, he says that the Rav said that the Tkufa of the Rishonim was extended longer by the Spartan and by Ashkenazim, so the Machaber is considered a Rishon and the Rav is considered an Achron.
Really? Wow, that's fascinating. Even though the Machaber outlived the Rav, Machaber was both older and outlived the Rav. There's a much very long life, and the Rav is a fairly short life. Taught to know, and no one gave a bang on the table, okay, Rav Ozai, we're here by the end of the Rishon and start Achron. These things are only discovered after the fact. It's hard to know. Where did it really come from? Where did it become popularized? He says over here in the Sefer Aguda. And he says only a few words. Sefer Aguda was written by Rav Alexander Suslin, who was living in the 14th century. Where? Frankfurt, originally, and later Erfurt, in eastern Germany. They write as follows. V'ra'isi rabosei Achozrin acha lituga, they went for lettuce. V'im lo matzu yikhu meritich. He never said, the Aguda, that it's tamcha. No. He does not say it's tamcha. Only the Agos Maimini and the Rash. Only the Agos Maimini. Rash and the Rib said it's Merirta. Only Agos Maimini, which I think is in the, I don't use the word mistake, but
doesn't fit in. The way we have it makes no sense. I don't know what came. If you have a better theory, how that came about, I'm looking for a better theory. It's been 30 years since Rabbi Shaver wrote his piece. I heard some different. When I learned Pesachim last time, I called him up. Is there any new things? Anything new? No. 7 days to call up and call him up again. He lives in somewhere in Eretz Yisrael. In Shomron, somewhere. I think it is. I'll try to get a hold of him. In any event, that's where it starts. Why did it start? Why did it start? Because they haven't had any basis, really. So, my time is up. Then tomorrow, we will give you his theory, which I happen to agree with. And we'll discuss halacha l'maaseh what to do. We can try to do as much as we can in the comments, but tomorrow will be helpful as well. Okay.
Rabbi, do they have Gesher in the library?
I'll give you mine tomorrow.